Galatians chapter 5. Now, for the first four chapters, we have really been talking about grace. Salvation by grace through faith. Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. And he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Exactly as the scriptures had promised. As you read through your Old Testament, you'll see. Just exactly as God said. And so, we've been talking about how we were brought now, set free from under the curse of the law. Now we're standing free in Jesus Christ. And he's going to continue the thinking, but he's going to give us now application. Chapter 5 begins this way. Stand fast, therefore. Now when you see therefore, what? You look and see what it's there for, right? Now, after all these that we've just talked about, after all we've discussed, after the first four chapters, now he's going to give us some application, something we need to do. And so, therefore, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. To stand fast, in our language, we would also say it this way, stand firm. Or another way, hold your ground. When the Lord has brought you out from under the law into this freedom, hold that ground. In the military, we're training to go into Vietnam. One of the things that we would work on would be when you take a position, to hold that position, to not give up ground, and then to continue to move forward as that position was being held. And you know, as Christians, we do have a tendency to drift back a little bit if we're not careful. We slip and slide. We drift. We backslide. And so we're being encouraged here to stand your ground. Stand strongly. Six times in the New Testament, we are encouraged, commanded really, to stand firm. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, we read this. You watch and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let me say that in American. Watch, keep your eyes open. Stand firmly and strongly in the faith and be strong like men should be strong. We need to, as Christians, we need to be strong. Well, we're not strong in our own hearts. We're strong in the strength of the Lord. And so we stand firm. Don't let it go back. Don't slip and slide. Philippians 1:27. Let your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Standing firm, standing fast, standing in strength, the strength of the Lord. Philippians 4:1, we read this. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. For we now live if you stand fast in the Lord. Stand strong in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. See, we're encouraged many, many times to stand strong. I will never stand strong without him. But it is something I'm called to do. You will never stand strong without him. But it is something that you've been called to do. You that are truly born again. Stand strong. Stand firm. Don't slip back. You'll get weary. You'll be attacked. People throw ropes around you and try to drag you back, but don't allow it to be. In the strength of the Lord, stand firm. God tells us, I want you to stand firm in the liberty in which Jesus Christ has made you free. You know, once you come to Jesus, it is by grace through faith. You didn't earn it. You didn't purchase it. You weren't smart enough or good enough. None of us were, but you came to Jesus. Those of you that are truly born again, you said yes to Jesus Christ. He's in your heart. Now you stand strong out from under the curse of the law, standing free. Now Christians, they worry. They say, well, wait a minute. You're telling me if I'm out from under the law, I can just say anything and do anything. Wait, there's a verse coming up that'll take care of that. Don't get ahead of me. The price for your sins has been paid. Was paid there on the cross. You can read all throughout Old Testament scripture and you will see. Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He was born a child, but he was always the son. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You'll see it throughout scripture. Jesus Christ, Messiah. Daniel chapter 9. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. He will die. But he's not dying for his own sin. He's not dying for his own self. He died for me in my place. He died for you. His blood was shed for us. And so sins are washed away by the blood of the Son of the living God, who loved us, the Bible says, and gave himself for us. That's grace. Verse 2 says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. You know, when he says Christ profits you nothing, what he's saying is, if circumcision is what you think it has to be, in other words, if you've got to place yourself under this system, under these laws, then Christ profits nothing. Jesus Christ died to set you free from that, but if you won't come out from under it, well, it does no good, does it? You're under the law. But if you're going to remain under the law, every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Have you read the whole law? Have you read it to see what it says? Normally, you and I, as Christians, we pick and we choose what we want to obey. You know, we'll do this, we'll do that. I was talking to a guy, he said he and his wife go to a church, and they really love it. But the women, they can't wear slacks, they can't wear shorts, they can't wear two-piece bathing suits, they can't. And I said, are they allowed to dress? I mean, what happens at your church? I was getting a little nervous. They couldn't do anything. And you see, so here we go. So you're telling me then it's clothing. You're telling me then salvation is based on a dress code. The men, had to have facial hair. I know guys that couldn't get into that church because they couldn't grow facial hair if their life depended on it. I mean, that's just life. I mean, that's how it is. So the men had to have facial hair, and you're thinking, wait, so salvation is free and you can't wear this and you got to grow one of those. And the list can go on and on. And Paul says, no, you've come out from under that. You have been set free now in the Lord to serve him freely. Now, if you're under the law, you got to keep the whole law. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. There, you know, I broke the law before I knew there was a law. How about that? I mean, you know, the only reason that I wasn't saying things bad when I was an infant was because I couldn't talk yet. As soon as I could talk, I was saying the wrong things, and I've been that way since I can remember. How about you? I really wasn't. I was selfish, but it didn't show up until I could crawl. And once I could crawl, I'd crawl over and take things away from my sister. And my mom didn't say, isn't he cute? Look, he can crawl now. Let's go get that from your sister. No, I thought, I'm getting that. I want that. Mine. And you know, I was selfish, and given an opportunity, I proved it to the world. We are all sinners. Even the ones that say they've never sinned, they're liars as well as everything else. Remember, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him, who? Messiah, Jesus. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, all we like sheep have sinned. We've gone astray. Sheep will do that. Sheep aren't smart. And when we call Jesus Christ the good shepherd, we are saying we're sheep. Sheep are dumb. You know, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is a sin? A sin. You know, back when there were knights and kings and damsels in distress, the Dark Ages, we call that. They would have an archery tournament. And the old English word, the Elizabethan English word that they would use, they would 50, 60, 70 yards, maybe even more, 200 yards. Some of those guys were crazy. And they would shoot at this target. If they missed the target, then the spotters would yell out the word sin. What did it mean? Literally, it means you missed the mark. That's what the word means. And you say, well, I don't understand. I don't do archery. Well, fine. You ever see sports? You take a basketball game. They draw a line around the court, and that line is the boundary line. You've heard of that term, haven't you? And if you're dribbling, if the ball goes over it or part of your body goes over it while you're in control of the ball, what happens? They blow the whistle. They yell, sin. Give me that ball. Take the ball away from you and give it to the other team. Because it was a sin. You missed the mark. You have stepped outside the boundary. Football, you step outside, then they take the ball, you still get to keep it, but you lose it down. Unless it's fourth down already. So, you and I are familiar with the term. It means to miss the mark. How many times have you missed the mark? Don't tell me. Because then I'll judge you. That would be a sin on my part. How many times have I missed the mark? It's a big number. A big number. And people say, well, yeah, we keep the law. Do you really? You ever read the law? Just go back to the simple. The whole law isn't the Ten Commandments, but you can go back to those if you want to talk about the law. And the Lord your God shall not have strange gods before me. Anybody ever break that? A strange god, an idol, would be what? Anything that takes the place of the Lord in your life. Ever have anything take the place of the Lord in your life? Even for 30 minutes? Sure, yeah. Remember that girl you were trying to date in high school? Remember that car you wanted? Remember that guy? Remember that job? Remember that? Yeah, there are times when, as a matter of fact, idols came into our hearts and things stepped in between us and the Lord. All right, we've committed idolatry. What's the penalty for idolatry? Death. For the wages of sin is death. You go back under the law, you go back under the curse. What amazes me is Christians say, oh yeah, we're under the law now. We came to Jesus by faith, but we're under the law. Really? Well, under the law says you got to die then. You can't go back and fix it. You know, I've heard Christians say, yeah, well, okay, we're going to start from right now. Oh, okay, who set the time clock then? You, right? Oh, I see. So those all the other times you missed the mark, you're pretending they don't count. You know that if we were still under the law, I would have been dead before 21. How about you? I've been stoned to death before I was 21 years old. How about you? If we were not really under the law, we're not under the law. We pick and we choose what we want to obey, don't we? Later on, Jesus is going to say, alas, alas for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites that you be. Sure that the kingdom of heaven awaits you, you will not venture half so far. Other men who might enter the gate, you keep from passing through, you drag them down with you. You snakes, you vipers brood. You cannot escape being devil's food. I send you prophets and I send you preachers, sages and rages and ages of teachers, and nothing can mar your mood, you're blind fools. You take the cup and you drink from it, and you take out that little gnat, you strain on that, and you swallow a camel. How many times have you and I done that? How's it going in your life? Oh man, I'm having a great week. I've been reading my Bible. I'm praying. My wife and I are getting along for the first time in 35 years. We haven't hit each other or nothing. Great. How's it going to work? Well, I stole some stuff. They're going to fire me. You strained out a gnat and you swallowed a camel. Yeah, well, see, great over in this side, but this side, this whole list you messed up on. Jesus brings you out from under that. Aren't you glad? And I'm telling you right now, many of you have been taught that God is the God of a second chance. That's not true. If it were true, I'd be dead. God is the God of another chance. I mean, if it was only second, are you kidding? And another chance, and another chance. And how many times has God, well, I'll tell you how many times. Lamentations chapter 3. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. How many times has God let you start all over again? I mean, how many times in one day has God let you start all over again? And the death penalty was waived through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't want to go back under there. You say, well, okay, you're right. I don't want to. But if I'm not under the law, are you saying I can go do anything and say anything and act any way and be a part of? Wait, we're not to that verse yet. Wait. We read this. Christ is become of no effect, verse 4. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. He's not saying you've lost your salvation. That's not the point of the whole situation. Salvation is by grace through faith. What he's saying is you place yourself under the law. It's got nothing to do with grace. At that point, if you're under the law, it's got nothing to do with grace. You can't have both. You know, here's maybe an easier way to understand it. You go to the doctor. Doctor says you're not well. You say, I know, that's why I came here. Doc, it hurts when I do this. You know what my doctor says? Don't do that. I said, I broke my arm in 3 places. He said the thing to do is to stay out of those places. You say, Doc, I'm not well. He says, all right, take these and let's just see if this helps. When you go home and you take them and you're walking down the aisle of a store and you see this little thing that says, this helps in this case. And you think, I'll try some of that too. And so you take some of that for a couple of days, plus what the doctor gave you to take. And then of course, you remember your grandmother. Remember? The way she used to go out and dig those roots up and put it in tea and then pour it over your head. Remember that? In your ear and held this so it wouldn't go through. You remember? And so then you thought, I'm going to go get some of those roots and do that like my grandmother did. And you pour, you know, okay, and there you go. And you go back to the doctor and he goes, how you doing? You say, I think I'm doing better. He goes, well, you look really good too. You took the medicine? Oh yeah, but not only that, but I bought some stuff off the shelf and I poured some stuff in my ears too. What's the doctor going to say? Well, we don't know if what I gave you helped. I mean, something helped, but now we're not quite sure what is it, right? And that's what some of you are trying to do. Say, Lord, I'm yours. It's by grace through faith. Go here too. And so you're not sure what's helping or what's going on or anything. No, that's not the way it works. Look what he says. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You can't do them both. If you come out from under the law, you've got to stand in the freedom. Stand firm in that by grace through faith that God has given to you. You're free now. Free to serve. When you're under the law, your hands are tied, your feet are tied. How are you going to serve with your hands unable to function? With your feet, how are you going to serve if you can't move? It's called being spiritually handicapped. You're going to get nowhere. That's what Paul's trying to tell those that he loves. It's free, everybody. That may bother you, but it's free. That's good news to me. Verse 5 says something interesting. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. When you come to Jesus and you give your heart to the Lord, you are instantly given eternal life. It wasn't how well you did all week. It wasn't the attitude and the amazing ability for you to understand everything that was going on. It was given to you and to me as a free gift. But this verse says, through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What are we waiting for right now? Those of you that are truly born again, what are you waiting for? Yeah, Jesus. He's coming back to get us. He'll either take us one at a time or all in a group, however he does it, whenever that works, however, not a problem. He's going to do it. And we're waiting. That's the hope of righteousness. He has given us eternal life freely. God says it's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we're waiting for Jesus Christ, the hope of our righteousness. Philippians 1:6, he who began a work in you is faithful to complete it. God started it. He'll finish it. What we do is we stand firmly in the faith and we trust God. Do you remember being saved? Do you remember when you got saved? Could you remember that time? What did you really know about it all? I mean, what did I know about God? Nothing. I didn't know much. I knew that he was bigger than me and smarter than me and probably upset with me. But I didn't know very much. Did you? When I came to the Lord, I came just exactly as I was. I didn't go clean up my act or try and straighten out my language or try and get my Bible knowledge up to some kind of level to where he would accept me. Jesus said, you come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Anybody that comes to me, Jesus said, I would never turn them away, never. The thief on the cross who deserved to die said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, I tell you truly, today you will be with me in paradise. What did that thief have to do? Go pay back what he had done? Go fix all the problems in the past? Did he have to get off and get baptized or go to some kind of Bible study? Did he have to go through some kind of catechism to get up to a certain level so that he could be accepted by God? No, he just had to say, I believe you're the Son. Remember me when you get to your kingdom. I know you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus said, you'll be with me today in paradise. Paradise is to be with the Lord for eternity. Paradise was there in the inside the earth until Jesus went down and set the captivity captive, led them into the presence of God. What did I know when I came to the Lord? Nothing. I don't know much now either. And I'm thankful that God is so merciful and he's so faithful. Hear this, everybody. We are under no rules and under no regulations. We're free. And when you say that, the first thing we think is, well, shouldn't we obey God? Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. I mean, don't we read scriptures and say, obey, obey, obey? Sounds like a funny word. Doesn't scripture say that? Yeah, it does. So what's it talking about then? Well, look at the next verse. I think the next verse answers it for you. In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You see, it's not what you're wearing. Circumcision or uncircumcision, it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter whether you're very high IQ or low IQ. It doesn't matter how much you know about God or don't know about God. It doesn't matter where you have come from. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how good you've been. You're thinking about Santa. That's the problem with everybody. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad. Hold it. You're thinking about the wrong guy. Yes, God knows all that stuff. But the grace is from the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, paying the price in full. He cried out from the cross, tetelestai. That word in our language means paid in full. It is finished. It's all done. There's nothing more to add to it. There's nothing we should take away from it. Jesus Christ paid the price. He's the Son of the living God, God in human flesh. As Isaiah tells us, Emmanuel, God with us. As Abraham said to Isaac, we learned earlier, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. In other words, the Lord himself will become the sacrifice. And he was. Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God and always will be. Fully God, fully man. And he died on the cross for me and for you. And we read here, In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. See, it's not whether you are pierced or not pierced. It's not whether you have a tattoo or don't have a tattoo. It's not shoes. It's not socks. It's not swimming suits. It is not levels of jobs or intelligence or any of those kinds of things. What is it? It is grace. Freely given to anyone who will say yes to Jesus. Anyone. And once you say yes to Jesus, then what? I remember accepting the Lord. It was a long time ago. Maybe this didn't happen to you, but you see, God in my life had to do major work. Maybe he didn't have to. Maybe you were pretty good and he just had to straighten out that things here or there. But in my life, he had to do major work. When I accepted the Lord, I thought things were going great in my life, to tell you the truth. They were going great. And when I accepted the Lord, oh my goodness, did things go bad. And I can think, what in the earth is wrong? God had to do major work in my life. He started chipping off on my own heart, and I'm telling you, it was a mess. And I kept thinking, Lord, what is a mess? I'm saved now. What's wrong? And my life went down and down and down until I was so low. And I remember the time I was making a ridiculous amount of money, six figures, lots of money. And my parents never wanted me to do what I did. And I remember the day I told them, I don't care. I don't care what you want. This is what I want to do. This is, I can do this on my own. I'll do it. And I left there against my parents' wishes. And I went out into the music business, which my parents kept saying, don't do it. It'll destroy you. Don't do it. And I just didn't listen. And after I accepted the Lord, I remained in the music business and kept getting lower and lower and lower. And I remember the time when I thought at the bottom. I had some lower to go after that, but I thought I was at the bottom. I had no money. I had gotten out of professional music and given the money away because I felt like as a Christian, it would be wrong to keep it. See how stupid I was. So I gave everything away. I had nothing. And I remember the day that I had to go to my dad and borrow $5 for food. You know how embarrassing that was? When you have to go face those people and tell them, yes, I was wrong, I was a fool, and I'm starving. Could I borrow $5 for food? You don't even expect him to treat you as his son. You're just hoping that he would treat you like some beggar, and maybe he would give you $5. You ever read the story of the prodigal son? And I thought I was at the bottom then, but the good news is I had a lot lower to go before God was finished. Boy, God is good, isn't he? And I'll tell you sometime when you got a minute. We love God. We love him. As a kid on the island of Diego Garcia in the middle of the Indian Ocean there on the equator, 2,000 miles from everything. Bangkok, Thailand, Australia, just out in the middle of nowhere. A friend of mine, a neat friend of mine, he would always tell me about Texas. And man, the way he talked about Texas, I wanted to go there someday. And I would stop him sometimes and we'd sit down and I'd say, tell me about Texas. And he'd look up in the sky, he'd just start staring off in the sky and he'd say, you know, the blue bonnets, they cover the countryside like a blanket, and as far as you can see, it's the blue blanket. And he says, and right after the rain there in East Texas, the sky's bluer than you've ever seen it. He says, you know, my dad, his job isn't very important in the city that we live in, but it's the most important job he has, and so my dad works hard and is proud to do his job. And he says, and my mom makes the best cherry pie in the entire state of Texas. And he would look at me and say, you would love Texas. And I'd ask him often. I mean, I think he should have become a preacher. I'd say, tell me about Texas. And he'd say, oh, man. And I just remember, the blue bonnets cover the land. What do you think he was going to do when he left that island? My guess is he's going to take some time off and go to Texas. What do you think? I wanted to. You ever think about heaven? You know, there's no more crying there. There is no more suffering. There's no more sorrow. There's no more jealousy, greed. There is no more missing the mark. You'll even get along with me there. And that sounds like a place we want to get to. And it's a free gift to have eternal life, to live in the presence of God forever. And what am I talking about? For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. That guy loved Texas. I could see he loved his family. And I could see it in his eyes. That's a place I want to be. Think about heaven. Think about being in the presence of your Father, who is almighty, who is all loving, who knows it all, who's excited that you're coming there and who has made a way that you could be there with him forever. It sounds like a great place to go to me. Sounds like a great place to be. When I entered into fifth grade, yes, I went through fifth grade, made it all the way through. Thank you. Me and Jethro. We were in Germany. I was a new kid there. I hated being a new kid. I was a new kid a lot in my life. But it's all right. That's what you did. And we went to Germany, and first day of school, this tall man stood up. He was the teacher. You never know what your teacher's going to be like, do you? And he said, my name is, well, I call him Mr. E. The reason is that because that's what he was to me. He was a mystery. So I call him that. And Mr. E, he said to the whole class, but he's talking to me. I knew it. He said, I will do my best to teach you what you need to know to advance to the next grade. I'll do everything within my power. If you will pay attention to me, I will teach you and you will learn and I'll get you through this. I started feeling better already. I thought, okay, I'll listen. I want to get through this. Nobody wants to do fifth grade twice. He said something that I thought was, never, teacher had never said this to me before. He said, you can count on me. I will always be there for you. And I thought, oh, wow, I don't remember any teacher ever telling me that. He says, now, because you're in my class, it's the first day of school. And I thought, here it comes. He's going to tell us all the rules. Here's the do's and here's the don'ts. You know, here it comes. I knew it. He said, you can count on me. I'll always be there for you. Now, because you're in my class, you will from today on go by my name. He said, Mr. E, you are my kids. So when you go out of the playground, I want you to remember that you belong to me. I want you to know that I love you. And he hadn't even met me yet. And I want you to know that I'm there for you. Anytime you need to talk, anytime things are going like you think they shouldn't go, anytime something's bothering you, I want you to know you come and you can talk. But when you're out there, remember you are mine. Because people are going to look at you and say, he's one of Mr. E's kids. I think he's in Mr. E's class, isn't he? You know, I expected him to tell me what not to do. I expected him to tell me what I could get away with. And all he said was, when you're out there on the playground, remember you belong to me. You go out there in my name. He says, every day that you come to school, first thing in the morning, I'd like to ask you to sit still and quiet. Take out a piece of paper, number it from 1 to 25. And he says, I will be there. I'll be on time. And we'll get started. You know, the next morning, there I was. I thought, I don't know what I'm numbering this paper for. I'm hoping it's something really normal or easy. But I numbered this paper and I'm ready. But some of the people were talking, you know, because, you know, they're whispering, second day of school, you're excited. I wonder what this paper for. But I was sitting there for the first time in my life, probably not talking. And the last time. But I was quiet. And he walked in, and the people were, remember, he had asked us to be quiet, and the people were talking, and he walked up to the front. And he just turned around calmly. I thought, ooh, he's going to yell, and he said, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed. That's it. Then he went and sat at his desk. He said, take your pencils. We got our pencils. And he said, 3 times 9, 6 times 2, 5 times 8, 4 times 12, 3 times 2, 8 times 7. And he never stopped for 25. I got them all wrong. And I thought I knew 4 times 8. I thought I knew that. But it went by so fast, I couldn't remember the number that was. I think that was number 7. No, number 8. I don't know. I got them all wrong. You know, by the end of the year, he did the same thing. And he even said them faster. And I had time to even set my pencil down between some of them. I knew them that well. I started learning things I never knew that I was going to learn. And you know what? He also said, the first day he said, we're going to beat every class in this school at softball. Every one of them. So you are going to work on softball. Not just during recess, but during class time, you will work on your softball skills. And sure enough, I played first base because I was left-handed. And so sure enough, I'd turn in a piece of paper, and Mr. E would say, Bob, are you finished with this? Yes, sir. Is it right? Yes, sir, I believe it is. All right, then go outside and practice tagging up, practice tagging the base. And I started going. I said, you know, Mr. E, I can't do it by myself. Can you get someone to throw the ball to me or hit the ball? And he goes, hold on. Bill, are you finished with yours? No, sir. All right, Bob, go out and do it yourself, and someone will be out there soon. So all the kids in school with all the windows would look out, and Mr. E's class is out there playing ball, not at recess. Almost every period, I played softball. And I learned more in that year than I have learned since, I think. How did he do that? You know, there was no trick at all. I loved him. Never once did he threaten. Never once did he say anything like it. I loved him, and I caught myself on the playground, and many of the guys in my class, and others would say, hey, man, you know, there were three or four fifth grade classes, and others would come along and say, hey, there's, what's your name? Let's go bother her. And you know, you found yourself saying, you know, guys, forget it, man. I'm not going to do that. I don't think Mr. E would like that. Now, Mr. E never told me not to bother her. He never said that. But I felt like I don't think that would please him. I think that would make him ashamed of me. So we started to do what Mr. E thought was good, not because we had the rules, but why? Because we loved him. I got caught talking once. I was talking more than once, but I got caught talking. And if you did that, he would write your name on the board in a doghouse. If you got your name in the doghouse, you had to stay after school. Well, some of the other teachers, when you had to stay after school, they would hit your knuckles with the rulers or things, or break your fingers, or make you copy 20 pages out of the dictionary, or they'd sick animals on you and they'd tear you apart. You know, it was fifth grade, man. We were tough in those days. Men were iron and ships were wooden. And I'm walking in. You know, I was never afraid. I was never afraid, but I was so ashamed of myself. And I remember the speech. There were three of us. I remember the speech he gave us. I'll never forget the speech. I thought he's going to hit us. He's going to make us do some kind of assignment. We're going to stand in the corner until we die, you know, on one foot until your mother comes and get you. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're in trouble. And I felt so bad that I had talked. When we walked in, the three of us, he said this speech: I am disappointed in you. I remember the speech to this day. There it was. That's all he said. And he went and sat at his desk. He didn't hit me. He didn't scream. He didn't say, you know, you're making me sick. You talk, you should know better. All he says, I'm disappointed in you. He went and sat at his desk, and he said, now for your punishment. I thought, oh, here it comes. He says, I want you to work on your tossing skills. I say, you've got to be kidding. And he pulled out a baked potato, still wrapped. I don't know how he got the thing hot. And he tossed it to me. He said, you guys toss this for 20 minutes. Ow, whoa, dude. And we're passing it around. Just, and that was our punishment. You say, well, see, if he was a good teacher, he would have. Listen, there was no punishment needed. Because I loved that guy so much, I felt bad that I was so foolish as to talk. I thought, I'll never talk again. I'll never talk to another soul, ever. You know why we obeyed Mr. E? Because we loved him. Do you know, God has said that to me many times since I've been born again. God has said, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. He's never said, I don't love you anymore. You make me sick. Get out. He just said, I'm disappointed. And you know what you say back? I confess to you, Lord, my attitude has been no good. I confess it. The thing I just said I shouldn't have said, I confess it to you, Lord. Why do we obey him? Has he really given you this big set of rules that you... No. You know why? Because we love him. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. You see, Christian, do you understand why we obey the Lord? Not because we're under some kind of rules. Because he loves us. Because when you go out there to that playground, and you might as well know it now, you think that's hard out there, that's just the playground you're going to. As soon as you leave church, you head to the playground. All you got to remember isn't, well, don't do this, don't do that. You know, make sure you do this on Thursday. No, you know what you remember? I'm going out there in the name of my Father. And when everybody says, hey, let's do this, you might say, no, because I don't really think that would please him. I think that would embarrass my father. I don't think that that would bless his heart. I think it would hurt him. So I don't want to do that. People, oh, you're a sissy. Look, you can think whatever you want that I am. I just want my father to be blessed. I love him. He has been so kind to me. And when I sin, I miss the mark. When I come to him and say, Lord, my whole attitude is wrong. He never once said to me, I don't want to hear it anymore. You're going to get this and that. I'm breaking. Just give you your finger. I'm going to break it. You know what he said? I love you. I don't want you doing that, though. I don't want you to. So listen to me and trust me and follow me. And when you go out into the playground, you remember you go out in the name of the Lord. Because people are going to look at you and say, I think she belongs to God. I think she's a Christian. Hey, he's a Christian. He's one of those Christians, and he belongs to the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Let me read it to you again. In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. And I remember Mr. E saying, when you go out there, remember you belong to me. Now, God has said that to you many times, hasn't he? As you head to work today, remember you're mine. As you go to school and all the pressures that are there, remember you belong to me. And you get home and you and your wife, you and your husband are going to sit down and have dinner. Remember you belong to me. When things are wrong and money doesn't seem to work and it seems to be getting a little tense, stop. And God says, remember you're mine. Just remember you're mine. Things are going wrong at work. Maybe you don't even have a job. You're looking and saying, I don't know what to do. You know, Mr. E said it, and God has said it. And see, the thing is, I could talk and not get caught by Mr. E. I didn't tell you I never talked again. I just told you I never got caught again. But with God, it doesn't work that way. You're not going to sneak any of these things past him. Do you love him? With your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength, do you love him? You will if you realize he has set you free. And now all you need to do is just remember, I'm his. I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I belong to him. Things I do today, I want to make sure it pleases him. Doesn't matter. So people say, "What is it, a sin or is it not?" You know what? What it matters is, will this honor the Lord? Will this bring shame to him? Will this hurt him in any way? Will this bless his heart for me to do? And you start to obey God because you love him, not because he's got you thousands of rules to keep, but because you love him. He loves you. So stand strong. Stand strong. And love the Lord. Love each other. And when you go out into the playground, remember you belong to him. Let's bow our heads.